Clay Guston grew up on a wood ranch in the foothills of Moscow Mountain. He worked as a young man in Moscow at various jobs. In this interview, he discusses the Park Sleigh Hall, fatal accidents in the woods, the McGarry Butte fire, advantages of horse logging, the 4Ls and the IWW, and a few moonshine stories. The first thing that I thought I'd ask you about the ranch on the wood ranch on Coumarin Creek. You were just a kid there, huh?
Yeah.
That's where you were born. And
I was born right at the foot of the mountain.
Was it just a wood ranch? I mean, it's just for cutting wood, and there's no farming at all.
No farming. No. No, we just had a wood ranch up there, and Dad worked out in harvest, you know, during harvest. We went to school there, and edge of the mountain. No, that's all we'd done up in there was cut wood in the wintertime, and then we'd haul it in the summer, you know, haul it from Moscow there and sell it.
For firewood, huh?
Yeah.
Where did you have to go to school?
It's about 3 miles from there down. They call it the Evergreen School. Just to the foot of the Moscow Mountains there before you start into them. It's still there, I guess.
Yeah.
I haven't been out there for years. Always quite a bunch of kids went to school there. There's Beck's. I seen him the other day. He's talking about the school. He's about my age. He went to school.
You had a lot of brothers and sisters.
Yeah, I had I think there's 6 boys and 4 girls. They're all dead except 2 or 3 of us. 1 girl and my brother in Moscow.
So did you have many neighbors out there, or was it
quite a few around through the country there at that time when we were kids? I can't think of all their names, but there's some Coles lived there, Gid Coles, Erickson's, Dahlberg. Other people, the name of Stratton, Homer Burr's family, Haddon's, Cooper's, Hart's. Oh, there's quite a bunch of them. That isn't about, you know, 2 or 3 miles around the country there.
Were they wood ranches too, or were they farms?
Well, most of them was in the timber. I guess some of them had a little land cleared and stuff like that to farm on, raise hay for their stock. Wasn't really farmers, but then after you got a little further down, then it was all farmers.
Mm-hmm. Do you know how your father came about getting the place?
No, I don't. He had it when I was...
He probably bought it.
Yeah.
He didn't homestead it, probably.
No, I don't think he homesteaded. I think he bought it.
Was most of the timber still on it when you were a kid?
It was still there when he got rid of it, except what we cut for wood. I see they've logged it, though, since then. I don't know, maybe several times.
Well, how old were you when you...
Well, I was
when you remember starting to work out there and cutting... Helping, right?
Well, it was about time after I got going to school, you know. As kids, we'd work all the time when we were home. As soon as we got big enough to hang on to the saw, we was cutting wood.
What was the operation like there? I figure it was really small. I mean, just with a family.
Yeah, well, they'd just go out there and they'd fall a tree and we'd saw them into 4-foot blocks. And then the bigger ones, they'd split them. Use sledges and wedges. God, I don't remember when it did start, but I know I remember being there, for, you know, from growed up. So. Well, I was about 14 years old. Well, we moved to Moscow there. I went to school there for a little while, and then I quit school and took off up here in the woods. I've been here since.
Do you remember anything about Evergreen School, what it was like going there?
I remember when the teachers used to bounce you around on the seat to make you mind. I seen them pick them up and set them down there quite a few times. Yeah, it's a lot different than it is now. They used to make you mind, now they don't dare to. They'd hang the teacher. They'd test on the kids. No, I don't. Been so long ago, I forgot. I know there used to be some great big kids there, you know, being the, I suppose, 6th, 7th grade. And they used to, teachers, they'd hold her hand up and want something, you know, this for meanness. And she had a big platform up there, and she'd make them come up there and lay down on the, to punish them. I remember a lot of times there they had that thing full of them, just do it for honor, you know. Want something, and then when she'd ask them what they wanted, they didn't know what it was, and she'd take them up there. That's the way she, or stand in the corner someplace. But they was half of them grown men been there at them days, you know, trying to get an education, didn't want one either, I guess. They didn't act like it.
I mean, they hadn't had a chance to go to school before that, and they wanted to go and learn.
Oh, we didn't get to, we suffer from school there. You know, the snow gets so deep, sometimes you wouldn't get to school. But you used to have to hike. And time you get there, you'd be late. There wasn't no set time. We were supposed to have been there on time, but they couldn't get there. It didn't seem to make much difference as long as you got there and back. That was the main thing.
What kind of house did you live in? Was it just a little log cabin? Or?
No, it was a lumber house they built. It ain't there no more. It wasn't the last time I was in that country. They'd logged it and they tore down everything that was there.
Did you get along pretty good with all that brothers and sisters?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they fight once in a while, but that doesn't make any difference. No, they had a pretty good house there at one time. And then my mother's folks, they lived there too. They lived up a little above us in there, her brother and her mother. Of course, they're all dead now, a whole bunch of them. Ain't none of them left.
Well, what did you do in Moscow when you went there? What were the jobs that...
Oh, I drove dray team there for Williamson for a while. And then I worked on this paving the streets there. You know, had a vat down there to cook oil in. And I worked at that. And then I worked in that harvester there at Moscow. When they had the harvester there where that big store is. Out on North Main.
Yeah, Rosars.
Rosars. Worked in there. And then when I was going to school, I used to split wood for them. That fella that used to run the penny store, you know, split it into cookwood for them. I had all kinds of jobs around there in them days.
What did you pull in the dray team? What did you deliver?
Oh, we delivered coal and trunks and furniture. And I didn't get in on much of that furniture because I was too rough with it. They didn't like that. And I didn't like to move it in there. Them old ladies just stand out there with a broom and hit you over the head if you scratch something.
What about the coal? Where did you deliver that?
I delivered that up at the university, a lot of it. And then around town, you know, different ones. They'd ordered me to take it out. But the university had most of it. The flat car gondolas come in there and we'd load them out of them, shovel it out and take it up there and dump it into that furnace to keep that heating plant going. They could just about burn a load while I was getting one, too. And then they finally put the railroad up there. Mm-hmm. I don't know, they ain't got the railroad there now. I don't know what the hell they get it up there. Maybe they don't use coal anymore.
I don't know. You told me that you delivered flour too?
Yeah, to the bakeries. That's the first job I had of a morning. Go down there and get about 10 sacks, 100 pound sacks of flour and take it up to that 3rd Street bakery. I forget who owned that now. I knew him well then, too.
It's the same building, same
bakery.
Yeah,
same place. But I can't think of the fellow's name was running it then. And then I'd go overnight, the last thing, get that bread and deliver it out there to where that rose arbor is. And then take a bunch of it to the university up there. They had two places for them. Boy, there's a lot of bread and 1,000 pounds of that flour when you get it mixed up.
What was it, the Rose Hours place?
Well, they had an army camp there at the time.
Oh.
And one at the university.
Did you take it to other stores too?
No,
to sell? Just those two places?
Them two places, the only place I'd been.
What was the army camp like? I didn't know that there was
one. Just mess halls and stuff like that where they fed them in there. Big, long building.
And then you worked later in that harvester plant on that same
site? Well, that was before that I worked in there.
Oh.
They got that for the army out there. Used to haul scrap iron out there, and they'd melt it. We'd pour it into these molds. That was a hot job, too. Gub Bix, he was in on that, I think. He was lieutenant governor later on. I don't think he was right at the time, but later on he was.
Why was it such a hot job? Was it foundry?
Well, that iron, you know, you had to catch it in them kittles and then pack it around and pour it in these here molds they had fixed for. You could sweat pretty easy in there without doing any work.
What did they make the molds out of, do you know?
And use sand mostly. Some kind of sand, they'd make the mold, whatever the thing they wanted to make, you know, and then they'd pour this stuff in them and let it set, cool off.
You know, if they used the harvesters right around here in this area?
They used to use them there at Moscow, I don't know. I don't think they used them too long. I don't think they stood up too long, but they had them. Then they used to make these car wheels for these railroad tools in there.
Huh. So you came out, you'd left Moscow pretty young.
I left there when I was 14, come up here, and then I went back different times and worked there in Moscow. When there wasn't nothing around the woods too much to go back down there, I'd get a job doing something. Stay a while and then I'd take back to the woods. I never did like a town. I'd rather be out here.
So when you came out here, you were still just a punk kid, but you weren't you weren't all green about logging.
I'd been in the woods all my life. I know about the woods. I could tell one tree from another. I know that.
Yeah.
Oh, I swamped when I first come down here for long railroad track. An old feller with me. We'd worked together there quite a while. Went sawing and stuff like that. And got on them high lines. Just kept moving around wherever the job come up.
Do you remember what they first had you do? They had you swamping at the start?
Yeah, I was swamping down here at old Camp 7. They'd fall in trees along the right of way and saw them up, and then we'd go along and cut the limbs off. And then the loaders come in and load them up.
Do you remember the Beale's Butte fire? That was in 14, which I guess was the
1910, same. Wasn't it?
Oh, I thought it was a little bit later. I thought it was after the...
I know this one over here, because it was on it. This McGarry Mountain.
Huh, that was... When was that? That was quite a bit later, right?
Yeah, that was... let's see. That was after they built the railroad in the park and over in there. We was working at the camp. Camp 1 over there at the time the fire started, and they put us out on this. But I don't remember this what year it was. It must have been 31 or 2 or something.
What was that fire like, the McGarry fire?
Huh?
What was the McGarry fire like?
Well, it was pretty hot. It burnt that whole mountain off back here, clear around. We got a stop down at the river in there. Got it put out.
What did you do on the fire?
Make trails. I had a crew out there myself making trails. Had to watch them all the time. See where they was at and where they stayed out of the fire or not. And see if they got their lunches and noon. And then we backfired from the river back the other way when it got coming down over the hill there, because I figured it jumped across on this side. So we go along the other side and backfire and let it run up into the... I know we went up Boulder Creek in there one time, a bunch of us, and was going to put a trail in, and heck, that fire was going clear over us, you know, and lighting down. So we had to take them all out of there then. And we went back to the river and started backfiring the other way. They'd have stayed in there. That fire get below them there, they'd have had an awful time getting out of there. And they had a lot of green kids on it they brought out from Moscow. They didn't know what a fire was or what to do. You just had to watch them all the time. If you got lost in the brush, you might have got burned up.
Yeah.
But they were, most of them, pretty good workers. They'd do what they told them to. No, I don't know. Them fires, I don't think much of them. I still think they said it.
Who said it?
The pot nuts. Always will think so, but I don't know.
What? For what?
Save burning brush. Cheaper that way than it would be to hire a crew to go out and burn it, I think.
Do you think they thought it was going to get out of hand like?
Well, it did get out of hand, but I think they said it in the first place. I couldn't swear to it.
What about the fire over by Floodwood? Were you on that one?
No.
Are there any others that you...
I was on one at Princeton one time down here. A bunch of us went down there to fight that. But I found out that one was set too, and I didn't do much firefighting either. I watched some of them skidways so they wouldn't catch fire.
Set by who?
The company.
Well, that seems like a... Like that happens, you know, the Forest Service, they'll set them now, and when they're burning their brush and nail, they'll burn off another 50 acres or so. And it's called a slop over.
Yeah, they get away from them, then they holler because somebody else set it. That's
yeah.
But they used to have to pile that brush and burn it, and it cost a lot of money to get that burnt.
You mean in the old days?
Yeah, when they had to pile it all, and they could get a fire going right good, and they could burn it pretty cheap. But putting the fire out after it got the brush burnt, some of them gets away from them, and they burn up a lot of timber. That 1910 fire, I wasn't up here then. That burnt, oh, I don't know, all over. Pinner burnt bowl up, I guess. Beale Butte, all through that country. I don't know how much further. A lot of people got burnt up in that, I guess.
Was Beauville a pretty rough town back there in the first hour?
I don't think it was too rough. But Clarkie was a rougher town, I think. Bowl, I bet.
What was it like in Clarkie?
Oh, they had all kinds of things going over there, bootlegging, and I don't know.
I've heard about that around here too.
Yeah, they've had some of that here too, I guess. But not too much of it, I ever know of. Of course, they could get bootlegged whiskey in here. They hauled it in, I guess. First of making it, I don't think too many made it. Huh. No, I forget half of what used to go on around here. But that's,
well, it's been a pretty long time.
Father never thinks about what's going to happen later on or nothing, you know.
Yeah. But heck, that stuff's 50 years ago that we're talking about.
I know Derry is a lot different when I first come up here, old shacks, and I don't know. Now they got it fixed up pretty good. They used to have saloons, and used to have one right down the road here. That Russ Lawrence that I showed you that picture of, he run a saloon right down here along the road when they built this railroad in here. That was before my time when they built the railroad, but he had it after I come up here too. I guess it's kind of rough on when they built the railroad in here, kind of tough on some of them. But
how do you mean?
Building the railroad, they get drunk. Some of them get killed, and they had most of them bow humps, so they called them.
Would you say that in the camps it was mostly foreigners that were working the camps when you were first out here, or was it mostly, you know, regular?
Well, they were just about half and half, I'd say. Maybe more of them foreigners, because they come in here and they built the camps, and then they built railroads all over for the potlatch. No feller had a whole camp full of them guys, just foreigners. Of course, they were good railroad workers. About all they knew, I guess, was railroad.
Well, would you say that that when the labor activity started to change conditions, it came mostly from them, or did it come as much from the guys that lived around here?
Well, when it first started, I think there's more of them wops in on it, but afterwards I think it got, well, the rest of them was in on it too. You know, that's what they gathered up with them wops when they come in after them that time. Wobbly, they call them. Afterwards, there's quite a few of the other guys got in on it.
And the other guys, you mean the guys that lived around here?
Yeah, it worked for the potlatch. They got hit up for more money and different things. And then the Potlatch had a union of their own, 4Ls. Another union, I forget what they called that. But the Potlatch wrote it, and you lived up to it. So it didn't help you any. You done this what they wanted you to do, or you didn't stay. No, the union wouldn't stick up for you, so it must have been the Potlatch that wrote it.
Did many guys join that one?
Oh, yeah, you had to join if you worked, you know. They wouldn't let you work unless you belonged to it. Finally, it got so everybody found out it was a Potlatch union, so they finally quit paying in on it, and they still stayed and worked. And then I guess that other union, CIO or AFL, got in, and that was a little different. They'd take your money and wouldn't get you no more wages either.
But it wasn't a company.
No, it wasn't a company union, man.
Well, what about the IWW? You weren't supposed to belong to that one, right? I mean, the company didn't like that.
I didn't belong to it. I worked with them guys, though. But I never had a card or nothing.
Did you belong to any of them?
Not now. I joined that Potlatch there, paid dues in for a long time, and finally I quit that. They said they can, and I said, no, let them can. Looking for a job when I got this, and so what's the difference? I never did pay them more. And I never got canned either.
What do you remember about the strikes that went on in the IWW was up there? Were there strikes?
Well, they'd strike. I don't know whether the Wobblies it'd do something, and they'd blame it on the Wobblies. I don't think half of them Wobblies done what they claimed they did. Myself, I think it's somebody else. The head of it.
Exactly.
But I know they come up and got a bunch of them up there one time when I was working with them. It was on the landing there. They got what had cards around there. Took them to Moscow. I don't know what they done. Kept them in the bullpen down there for a while. I don't know what they ever done.
Well, how could they tell if you had a card?
Well, you pack your card with you, you know. You belong to the Wobblies. You had a Wobbly card.
So they'd search you?
I suppose they'd go into them bunkhouses. And if you had a card laying around or any place, they'd find it.
Oh, who were most of these guys that were taken in? Were they?
They had most of them WOPs that they around here at that time. That's about all they picked on, I know, up there. But I don't remember much that they'd done, to cause them to do it. I guess they'd set a fire or something someplace or something like that. Somebody would, and they'd lay it on to them, whether it's them or not.
I've heard that it said that they really did get the better conditions.
Oh, they did, too. If it hadn't been for them, I don't think they'd had any bunkhouse and bedding and stuff. You used to have to pack your own beds and stuff like that, you know, in them camps. And you got better bunkhouses and better beds, and beds furnished, and washrooms and stuff like that. You know. Yeah, them camps was pretty good when I left them. I don't know, they just had everything that you'd want, you know. If you stand in them, you can.
But why do you think it was? These bad things were being laid on the IWW if they...
Well, they had to blame somebody. I suppose they figured that anything went wrong, the Wobblies was doing it. But I don't know. I worked with them up there, and they're all good workers and everything. They used to like play dice. as soon as there's anything, wasn't no logs there, they was all out there shaking dice, taking the other guy's money as fast as he could get it. He used to laugh at it. One time they'd lay a coat out, you know, and then they'd shake dice and bet. One guy, he'd win a lot of money, and probably the next time they tried it, he'd lose his, and the other guys would get it. That's the way they passed away their time while they wasn't busy. They all seemed to have money, I don't know. Of course, money them days didn't amount to much. Yeah. I think it was only about 60 cents an hour. We're working on landing at that time. But the sleigh haul here, I worked on that for 30 cents an hour. You live just as good as you do now for $7 or $8 an hour, I guess. I don't know that much difference.
You want to tell me what that sleigh haul was like?
Well, about the only thing I could tell you would be the how they done it. They loaded them on sleighs on the other end of the line, you know. And they brought them about, I'd say, 5 miles to the river. And they'd bring two sleighs at a time behind each cat over to this railroad. And they had a loader there, they'd load it on them cars and take them into Potlatch, to the mill.
And what was your job?
I was road monkeying down here. I saw the logs over there first, they went to sleigh haul, and then I went on the road down there. Sanding. They put in 72 days study. Never missed Sundays and all.
What did you do to maintain the road? What did you have to do?
Well, we put sand and gravel on the road to keep the sleighs from running over the horses. We have 4 horses on each sleigh, you see. There's quite a bit of weight there in them sleighs. Just to hold the sled back down the hill.
Did you have to work on it every day?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 12 hours a day.
Did you work while they were hauling? Or
oh, yeah.
When they were?
Ride the sleds right down. Every sled go down and ride it down across my beak. Stand on the front end of it, a sack of cinders or sand scattered along as I've got to go into that. Get off and go back and get another. I forget how many sleds they had, but they had, ten or 12 teams, sleigh teams, quite a bunch of them.
What were the sleighs like?
Oh, they had big long runners and then bunks on, you know. And they chained them on, chained the logs over, put like they do on the railroad cars, hold them. Binders and so on. But the teams would only bring one sleigh in, but the cats would take two, see, from the river up, rivers uphill. And the cats were more powerful than horses.
But they didn't have the cats running the sleigh haul just down from the landing, sorry.
Yeah, this from here to the river. Uh-huh. It's about, oh, I'd say 3.5, 4 miles, 3 miles, I guess.
Well, did they do this real often, these sleigh hauls? Or was
no,
it just
that was the only one that I've been on.
How? What was the story on why they did it just then?
Well, they bought the timber off in that school section, see, and their time was up. They either had to get the timber off or lose the timber. And so they made a road around through there to sleigh haul it out. Then the year or two after that, they built a railroad right through there, but they'd lost the timber then and got it off when they did. That's the only time they had left to get it for that winter. Either that or lose it. So they didn't want to lose it, because nice timber, big yellow pine. Just had so long a time after they bought it to get it out of there, and I guess they figured on the railroad in the first place, but they didn't get it built.
Well, is this, Slough Hall wasn't too economical then, I get the idea. It wasn't as good as other...
I don't know, they got quite a few logs.
It sounds like it.
Oh yeah, they got quite a few logs every day out of there. Of course, they wasn't paying much money them days either. 30 cents for, I got, and the Teamster got 2 cents and a half more an hour than I did. So they wasn't making too much money either, 12 hours a day.
Oh.
Yeah, they, of course the lumber wasn't near as high either. But there's lots of men there working on that all together, the road monkeys and the Teamsters and loaders and skidders. Take quite a crew.
What was it like? Can you tell me some stories about Prohibition? Some of the things some of the funny stories about guys drinking on the sly and stuff like that.
Well, I don't know too much about that. I never. If I have, I forgot them all.
You told me a couple last time. I don't know if I can remember.
I ain't familiar with a lot of that stuff, and a lot of things happened that I forgot all about, I guess.
One of the ones you told me was about a dog, and I don't remember it too good, but it was...
Oh, it was about a dog over here hunting whiskey bottles.
Yeah.
Yeah. He'd go out and get them, too. You could take and hide one wherever you wanted to, and leave. Send him out, he'd come back with it. He belonged to Harry Tracy. The dog did. He had him trained. The engineer went out and hid one there, and Tracy sent him out, and pretty soon he came back with it. He said, "That's the last one I'll hide around down the street."
Just from what I've heard about, Prohibition seems to have not been taken very serious. You know, like Pat Malone really liked his.
Oh, yeah, he used to watch the hall down there, and he'd take a drink. He didn't bother him much. I see him come around the fence there one night, some guys ahead of him, and they stopped and got a drink, and then he come along, he stopped and got one, and he come on down around and back up. I don't know whose bottle it was. It was dark there. You couldn't hardly see him up in the light. Old Pat had the flashlight. He was going along there. I thought maybe he was going to try and catch him with it. All he wanted was a drink, I guess. I guess he's dead a long time ago, too. Yeah. Oh, he didn't bother anybody if they let him alone. Don't think. Of course, he had to, once in a while, I suppose, he had to pick up somebody and show him he's still cop.
Wait.
He was a pretty old man when I first knew him. Around Boulder there, he was. Oh, I suppose he was 50, 60, 50, anyhow, when he was. When I first knew him, then he, I don't know how old he was. Yeah.
Did you know Potlatch Joe?
I used to. Last time I seen him was in a wire cage. They had a pickup with a wire around it. He was in there just bouncing all over down there at Princeton. Last time I ever seen him, but I seen him a lot of times before that. He used to work at the camps. And he, I don't know, he'd, sometimes he'd work, sometimes he wouldn't. The boss would tell him, well, how can you? He said, quit yourself. He said, you got too many bosses in here. He said, he was quit. Too many bosses in here. Quit yourself, he said. They kept him on for a long time. He was a kind of a dirty looking old wop. I don't know what he was. But the last time I seen old Friel down there, he was a mechanic, and he had this pickup with a old wire cage runs, you know, on the top of it. And I guess old Potlatch Joe wanted to come out with him, and he loaded him in the hind end of the, looked like a big bear in there the last time I seen him bouncing around. Yeah, he was quite an old potlatcher. They called him Old Potlatch Joe.
Dick Bench was telling me last week that you could get pretty mad sometimes if a guy really got your goat.
Who was that?
Dick Bench.
Oh.
Told me that. He said.
No. Oh.
I said, oh, I can't believe that. I said, Clay? Yeah.
Oh, he must have. I don't know. See, I've been around Dick a lot, too. I don't know. He's. Oh, I used to get mad at some of them guys I worked with once in a while. Not because they got my goat, because they wouldn't do what they're supposed to do, but trying to slough off onto me. I'd get kind of aggravated at them once in a while, but I didn't held my temper pretty good. Of course, if I know they was trying to slip it over on me, it'd work a little different, too. But
what do you mean, not do their job?
Yeah, you know, like that haulback you go to pull there, that's a two-man job. Well, you get a hold of the front end, the other guy lay off behind on him and let you do all the pulling and stuff like that. Or get kind of aggravated once in a while after he does it about so long. Yeah. I'd get behind them and I'd do the same with them. I'd let them pull along if they wanted to. If they couldn't pull, then I'd help them a little. Mm-hmm. I'd get even some way.
What about Dick? Was he, did you work with him very much?
Well, just in the camps. I never worked right with him, but he used to drive teams, getting all. And then the last, I don't know, I guess the last several years, he scaled a lot, I think. Scaled logs for, I don't know, some for Potlatch, and I guess some for these little mills up here at Fernwood. He worked there quite a while, I know. But most of the time when I was down around Princeton, he was driving team in there, skidding. To the landings, to the railroad track. Dick's a nice fella, he. He stopped in here a couple of weeks ago. He and his wife were going up to Fernwood after his grandkids. But they didn't stay long, they was in a hurry.
Did you know Pete Olson?
Pete.
Up there in Mobile.
Yeah, is it Pete?
I thought it was.
There's a Dick. And Dale. And, oh, what's this mill here now? Darman.
Hmm.
And there's one bull, it must be Dick, huh? Mm-hmm. No, it ain't Dick.
Pete Olson.
Pete, yeah.
Thinking of was a sort of a, he had a real, liked to do things his own way, is what I had heard about him.
I know.
I thought maybe you knew him.
I knew all them boys, but I just couldn't think of that. His first name being Pete. His wife carries papers here.
I don't know.
If it's the one I think. There's a Pete Olson up there. He used to be a bachelor. He lived right there in town.
This guy, he's died now. He's been dead.
Oh, well, I knew him, yeah. They found him dead in the ditch up there or something.
Huh. Oh, speaking of dying, I was thinking about, I think it was Herschel Tribble said that you might know some about that Jess Dillman and Agnes Liner murder over by Harvard.
Did you know? Well, I've heard about it. I don't know this what happened there. I've heard several different stories on it. There's different ones to tell.
What have you heard?
Well, all I know about it is for sure he killed her up there. She used to live right here. Her brother lives here yet, right here on the hill. I haven't either. The woman could tell you more about it, how it'd be, and I could. They was going together or something, and I don't know, something happened, and they was in a mine or something, or camp up there.
Yeah, that's mad for you.
He shot her and then shot himself, I guess. His brother was married to my sister. But I never did learn too much, just what did happen about it. It's quite a few years ago at that.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
I couldn't tell you too much. I don't know exactly what the argument was over or just how it turned out, but yeah. I know he shot her and then shot himself, but that's about all I know about it. I didn't know him. Well, I'd seen him, I guess, but I didn't really know him myself. They got a sister in Bruce, I think. Her name was Towns, Clarence Towns' wife. Sister.
Would you go over with me how some of these loaders went over?
Huh?
Would you go over with me how some of these loaders went over in these different situations?
Well, that one jumped the track. You see, the car jumped the track. The reason that one went over, it was going down to load logs on the jump. And it just jumped the track, and that's the way she landed. It finally went on over, and the car stayed up.
Well, I wonder what would cause one to jump the track. Would it just get going too fast? Was that it?
Well, them old railroad tracks, them days, you know, they wasn't fixed like they are now. They'd put ties in, and some of them didn't have balance in, you know, and they'd get the holes and the dips and get going too fast, and them things. Them Marines are pretty heavy. This is the same one, I think. Same picture as that. No? Or is it? There's another one.
This one we got two pictures of. Yeah. There's another one, I didn't take it out.
And that one just pulled itself over in the skidway and couldn't get back up.
Is this the one with the tank on top?
Yeah. Let's see, is it? Yeah, you see there's a water tank right on. I think most of them Marines had a tank on top, but that McGifford, the one that tipped over this one now, it had it was a way higher tank. And there wasn't as much weight on behind. And when that swung around, they got water went back, I guess, forward and tipped over. And they wasn't pulling nothing when that went over, I know. There's a log that didn't even hang onto the log. The tongs didn't. And this the one that tipped over down there too. But it seemed to me like there's two different tip overs. But this is the same as that and that.
Yeah, it looks like it looks like about the same
tuck it at a different angle here.
Yeah.
And this here and that. Had the crew get on top of that and after they got.
Mm-hmm.
I used to know who all them was, but Spencer's one, DeLoss Randall, Francis O'Keefe. I don't know, I tried to figure out the scale of that, but I never can think of his name. There's Glenn Taylor, who's a fireman. That scaler is over here, and I know him well, and I can't think of his name, 70. Yeah. Jack Donovan, that used to be a check scaler.
What caused you to stop working in the woods out here?
Oh, I got tired of that old Gifford up there and had to stay away from home and most of the time, and I just got a chance to go for the state, and I said, the heck, but stay at home work. Made it a lot better. Home every night, and you know where you're going the next day. And he was only paying $1 an hour when I quit in 44 for top loading. 12 hours a day.
What was your job as top loader?
Placing the logs on the car.
You directed where it would go?
Yeah.
You directed the guy that was doing, that was operating?
Where to put it. And then we'd have to pull them hooks out. Most of the time they get stuck up there and you had to be up there and pull them loose so they can get them back down.
Was it very dangerous work?
Well, if you watched close enough, it wasn't. It wasn't quite as dangerous as Marion. You see these logs, them logs there where they're swinging them around, hooking the end here. See the tongs there, you got it up. Now he'll swing around with that log. You got to be on top of that car there and take tongs out. If you don't swing it just about right, you might get hit with it. But I never did get hit with them. I was always watching pretty close. Once in a while, one would fall out of the tongs or something, you know, hit the boom and the log would come down. But I was always lucky. Some of them wasn't.
You told me you saw one.
Most of them was on the ground and got hurt. You know.
How would he?
Homer Cochran, he got hit on the legs. He was down there waiting to throw a chain over, and the log fell off on him and smashed both of his legs, and they had to take him off. Took him to potlatch, and when he never come out underneath, they cut his legs off. I guess just shock stuff killed him. And then there's another one got killed up at Elk River. Kind of slick and icy, and the log slid. And he was trying to hold it. And there's another skidway right behind him and pushed him right into that. Smashed him.
You mean he got hit by a log coming down the other skidway?
Yeah, well, it slid off in the skidway, and he was trying to hold it with his hands, keep it from sliding. And it shoved him right into this other skidway. Killed him, and then there's another one got killed. I don't know just how it happened. His name was Parks, just a young fella. I wasn't on that rig either when he got killed, but I'd worked with him quite a bit before.
How did he get killed?
With a log somewhere. I don't know just whether it fell out of the tongs or whether it fell off in the skidway or what happened. He died in St. Mary's, I think.
You told me one other about a guy who got killed when you were working there.
Well, he was unloading the truck. He hollered at me to look out down there. He's going to dump the load of truck, log it down in there. He hollered for me to get out of the road, and I told him, let her go. He tripped it up there and the log fell off and killed him on the truck. It wasn't on the loader. He was, when he knocked the pit hooks off, you know, one on the truck there and dropped down. I guess it was hanging out too much or something. I don't remember what his name was. I didn't know the man too good. He just started trucking in there.
Was that when the trucks had first been started being used?
Yeah. That was up on the Shattuck. Had a truck rode in there and starting to haul the trucks.
What was the change like there when they went to the truck, using the trucks? What did the men think of it?
Well, they'd haul them into these railroads, you see. You'd have a railroad at a certain place and then they'd have timber way off. And that they couldn't get a railroad into, be too steep or something. They'd make roads for these trucks, come down around, and then they'd haul them into this railroad and then load them on cars.
Did you think it was an improvement to do
that? Well, I don't know. It looked to me like awfully expensive, but it was a poor rig for the country. After they quit the horses, they tore down more timber than the truck, I think. Them cats going up through, pawing around, tearing up the little stuff. And the horses, you know, they just had skid trails for them. Didn't tear up much. I hear they're talking about going back to horses quite a bit. They got one guy up here now skidding with horses someplace out of Clarky up this side, Hidden Creek or someplace in there. That way they don't tear down all the young stuff. But you take these skidders and stuff, you know, they make a road about ever so far around the hillside and it big high banks and it all washes and just tears the ground up and ruins it, I might say. You can go any place up in them hills, you see roads all around the hillside, you know, where they go. And they skid them with a jammer and they tear down the rest. What they don't get when they fall the tree, they tear down the rest of it, skidding them out full lengths. No, I think they can do a lot different with it. Of course, this is faster and don't take near as many men.
There aren't as many men to give work to, I guess, then.
They used to have all the way from 100 to 150 men, you know, in one of them camps. Now they got probably 50. Well, not that many. Takes the place of the whole works.
Well, how far could you skid with a horse?
Oh, you can go back. I don't know, some of them goes back 1,200, 1,500 feet. You know, and then they'd make a railroad into another place. And then downhill, you know, they'd skid them down quite a ways, and if it wasn't, they'd move them over onto another track. The draws go up, you know, and they'd build a railroad right in the draws and skid to them.
How do you think putting in a railroad compares with putting in a road? Putting in the track, is it a lot more work?
Well, yeah, it'd be more work to put the track in. I'd say, I don't know. Of course, nowadays, the bulldozers they got, wouldn't be much of a job to put the railroad in either. Just laying the track. They had machines to do that with, you know. And loaders that swing the rails and tie it around there, throw them out there and scatter them out, and then you lay the rails on them, spike them down, keep them going. Just getting the road beds in the first place, that would be the worst job. Of course, dozers now, they build the road pretty fast.
Did you tell me that you'd worked on the railroad?
Railroad?
Did you ever work on
it? Not on a main line, no, just these.
The chaise?
Chaise and stuff, these loading rigs. They were all railroaded in the woods, you know, where we loaded. They used to deck them with horses, them big decks, put them, you know, skid them up and deck them way high. Then we'd go along spring, load them out. They always had lots of logs on hand, and they had horses. Of course, they had an awful lot of crews, too. Lots of camps. Now they ain't got no camps. You got to stay home or take you a trailer or a camper or something to camp in. No, they used to stay in camp and board in camp. That is the wood screws. Of course, we was running all over different places. We'd stay in one camp one night and probably another camp some other night, and maybe stay at home one night. And it just depends on where you're at, how long it took you to get there. But them camps used to get pretty old too. Same old thing all the time, you know.
You think that, looking back on it, that Potlatch managed the woods about as well as they could have, or there the things that they could have done that would have been better for the country?
Well, I don't know. You know, they had to go over the according to the way everything else goes, like this machinery and stuff. If they don't buy that, these outfits don't buy their stuff, and I suppose they had to stay up with the... As far as the logging is concerned, there was a lot more work for people when they had the horses, and it was, didn't tear the ground up like they do, and I don't think they wasted near as much timber as they do. But as the guy said, they had to go along with the bigger outfits too, I suppose. Trying new stuff. Like that incline up there they had, you know, you had to pull them cars up with a donkey and let the loads down with donkeys. And then after they found out that didn't work too good, they built a railroad right back in where they were getting the timber out.
Where was that at?
Clarkie. I went up that once on a flat car, but I never come down it. That thing was just, you had to lay down and hang on to your hands to keep them sliding off that thing. How they ever got, they put cables in, big cables over the logs and cinched them up and then let them down with a donkey down the